WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. This is WVUA 90.7 FM, The Capstone, and welcome to episode 67 of the Full Court Press Podcast. My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Nick Atkinson and Caden Johnson. To stay up to date, make sure to follow us on Instagram at FCPPodcast_UA. With that being said, let's get into it. Some news this week. Not as much as last week, but some good news nonetheless. Playoffs are right around the corner. The NCAA tournament just ended, so we have a lot of news to get into. To start off, Hawks guard Trae Young is to make his return, hopefully before the end of the season. Hawks point guard Trae Young has been cleared to resume contact and practice, team says. He underwent surgery for a torn ligament in his finger on February 27th. Currently, the Atlanta Hawks are the 10th seed in the Eastern Conference, one game behind the 9th seed Bulls. They're looking to make a push. DeJounte Murray has been doing a lot of work, so has Jalen Johnson. So Trae Young is looking to make his return right before the play-in. And I've heard some news about trade rumors as well for Trae Young, so who knows what's to come this offseason. Any input on Trae Young?
Yeah, I think if he is 100% by the time the play-in comes around, then Miami and Philadelphia have a little bit to worry about, I think.
Yeah.
Especially playing against Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, Jalen Johnson in one game, it's almost 50-50. It can go either way, you know. Trae Young, this is a guy that's been to an ECF before, even carried the Hawks last year to two wins in their first-round series against the Celtics. So,
Moving on, we have a little bit of college/NBA news. LeBron James Jr., Bronny James, is making headlines. He is going to be transferring from USC, but he also declared for the NBA draft while maintaining his college eligibility. USC Trojans freshman guard Bronny James will enter the 2024 NBA draft while maintaining college eligibility and will also enter the transfer portal on Friday, per Adrian Wojnarowski. A bit of a bombshell when this dropped April 5th, because in a lot of people's opinions, Bronny James is not NBA ready. I saw NBA executives say that defensively he is NBA ready, but offensively we haven't seen enough of LeBron James' son. A lot of weight on his shoulders being his son, so he's definitely under the microscope. Any opinions on this?
Not really. I mean, he'll get drafted because of LeBron, so that's my opinion.
I just don't know. I don't think any team with glaring needs is going to take Bronny. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be as forced as people think it will be. Like, I saw that report that you were talking about, the execs think that he is an NBA-level defender. But that being said, I don't think he's going to enter the draft. I think he'll come back to school. I think he'll transfer somewhere. I'm not sure where. But I don't think he'll get an offer from Duke.
Just kidding.
I do think that he'll come back to school for one more year.
Probably. If you were to make a prediction of where he lands, where would you say?
Oh, man, that's tough.
Kentucky, maybe? Alabama?
Honestly, Ohio State. But yeah, that's just like shot in the dark.
I think that's a realistic option. That was where LeBron wanted to go to college, but he didn't. So I think that is a real option. So definitely got to keep an eye on the Bronny James situation this offseason. Moving on, the New York Knicks are going to lose all-star Julius Randle for the season, including the playoffs, per Adrian Wojnarowski. After 2 months of rehabilitation to attempt a return to the New York Knicks, all-NBA forward Julius Randle will undergo season-ending right shoulder surgery, sources tell ESPN. A heartbreaking set of news for the New York Knicks, who have put together a great season, lost Julius Randle 2 months ago, who was having an incredible year, and now with the playoffs right around the corner, who knows what the Knicks are going to do in the playoffs. Jalen Brunson is going to really have to step up if they're going to want to move on from the first round. So anything to add about Julius Randle?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I mean, this was kind of a little bit more expected, so at least the Knicks have gotten used to playing without him at least. But with that being said, that kind of does stunt the Knicks' season, because you know you're only going to have so many years of Julius Randle and Brunson being in their primes, especially before you get teams like the Magic that are going to like pass them, I guess. And this really could have been a year that the Knicks made an ECF push, and it's looking a lot less likely.
For sure. Moving on, Hornets head coach steps down. Per Adrian Wojnarowski, Steve Clifford is stepping down as the Charlotte Hornets coach at the end of the season and working to finalize a front office role with the franchise. Clifford informed his assistants and players on Wednesday morning, April 3rd. nothing is going right in Charlotte right now. Injuries, and they're just not winning games. It sucks to see, and Steve Clifford is taking the hit. Candidates have emerged. Per Adrian Wojnarowski, the Hornets have secured permission to interview several assistants for the franchise's head coaching opening, including Denver's David Adelman, Sacramento's Jordy Fernandez, Boston's Charles Lee, and Phoenix's Kevin Young. More candidates are expected to be interviewed. That was on the 4th. Since then, two more candidates have emerged, the Clippers' Jay Laraniga and Kings' G League Coach of the Year, Lindsay Harding, who would, if she got the job, be the first ever female head coach in NBA history. So a lot of ways Charlotte can go right here. I don't know if I'd be that surprised at a Lindsay Harding hire. It would definitely be a huge bombshell in the NBA and would change a lot. So anything to add on this?
Yeah, I could see it. I'm kind of with you. I think it'll either be that or he'll take an assistant coach from Denver or Boston.
Yeah, I've seen those two names thrown out a lot. I've seen Jordy Fernandez thrown out a lot. So a lot of ways that the Hornets can go here. I don't have it written down here, but I did see a report that the worst-kept secret in the NBA currently is that the Magic are going to throw a bag at Klay Thompson in the offseason.
I did see that.
I don't see it being that unrealistic because it's a very young team with not a whole lot of shooting. How would you feel if Klay Thompson was on the Orlando Magic?
Well, they also don't need to, like, some home run bombshell, like superstar signing. Like, they can afford to throw a bag at, like, a vet, which they need vets.
They're
bad,
young. Yeah.
But they could afford to throw a bag at a vet that fits a need. And they're, one of their biggest needs, probably the biggest need they have, is spacing and shooting specifically. And believe it or not, Klay Thompson can shoot the basketball
pretty well. And I think a new start is kind of needed for Klay Thompson. These last, I would say, two seasons, especially this season in Golden State, have not been on par with what we have viewed Klay Thompson as in years prior. And I think a new start's needed because he is not the Klay Thompson we know and love. So I think going to Orlando would be a great option. Surround yourself with young talent, and really all you got to do is shoot the ball. I don't see why that's a bad option. Any thoughts on that, Nick?
I don't think it'll happen. But, I mean, yeah, it'd be a great situation for him to do. But I just don't think he'll do it.
So. You think he'll stick it out with the Warriors?
He's got another 2 years, I think. Him and Draymond both have another, like, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, for sure. And the last little bit of NBA news. The Hall of Fame candidates have been announced. Some of the names include Air Canada, Vince Carter, former NBA champion Chauncey Billups, Michael Cooper, legend of the Lakers, Suns legend Walter Davis, Jerry West, who is a committee finalist as an executive. If he is to be announced in the Hall of Fame, that would be his third time in the NBA Hall of Fame for three different things. That would be unheard of. As well as Doug Collins, Dick Barnett, and more. Obviously, not everybody's going to make the Hall of Fame, but if we were to think of any locks, who would they be out of some of these names?
Chauncey Billups is the biggest one.
I feel like VC is.
I don't know. I mean, I think Chauncey Billups, with the ring and then everything like that, just his success, I just think that's why I'm going to say. You know, because Vince Carter, he was like a great player, and he should have been NBA 75, but I don't know. He just never really won. He never got to the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Vince Carter has had a lot more of an impact on the game than Chauncey Billups. I think that is what the Hall of Fame looks for more than success.
Well, it's so easy to get in. I mean, most of them are getting in.
Yeah, it's so easy for you to get in there.
Yeah, I think VC, Chauncey, Walter Davis, and Jerry West, again, for sure get in probably.
Yeah.
Michael Cooper is it's basically like current day KCP.
Yeah, Michael Cooper was a role player his whole career. That really speaks to how easy it is to get into the NBA Hall of Fame or Basketball Hall of Fame when you have names like that up there, where Walter Davis was a star in the league in Phoenix, and Chauncey Billups is a former champ, finals MVP. Vince revolutionized the game. So a lot of names to go.
Cooper won a DPOY, right, didn't he?
I think
he won one. He won one. Yeah. I think it was 1981 or something, yeah.
Michael Cooper is Marcus Smart.
There you go. That's probably even better than Reggie.
So that's the list of candidates. That wraps up the NBA news. Now let's get into our final NCAA March Madness recap. We left off last week right before the Final Four.
I'm going to start
crying.
The
entire tournament has come to an end, and we're going to start with the Alabama Crimson Tide, the 4 seed, taking on the 1 seed Connecticut Huskies, the UConn Huskies. This was the closest game UConn played all season against the Alabama Crimson Tide. The final score, the UConn Huskies defeated the Tide 86-72. Some big players include Mark Sears, It's Mark's Madness. He had his own game, 24 points. Grant Nelson, another huge game with 19 points and 15 rebounds, but that wasn't enough to take down Donovan Clingan, who'd kind of dominated the entire time with 18 points, and Stephon Castle with 21. So I'll let you kind of take the lead here, Kate.
Yeah, I mean, the score, don't let the score fool you. Alabama played them close until the last 5 minutes. Then they just went ballistic shooting for me on the arc. This was UConn's best shooting performance of the tournament by far, and it was the closest game. So I think that's a real testament to how well Alabama played. There was a point early in the second half where Alabama was 9 from 12 from beyond the arc, and they were still down like 5. Mark Sears, he showed out, continues to boost his draft stock from being undrafted for sure into he could go second round. The Jalen Brunson comparisons are really there. Grant Nelson had another great game, 15 boards as well, especially going up against a 7-1 massive center like Donovan Clingan. He also dunked on him. That was pretty sweet.
Highlight of the night for sure.
And then, I mean, just showing how good UConn is, Alabama's game plan was to kind of let Stephon Castle beat him. We left him wide open on the three-point line, and he did just that. Like, Stephon Castle did beat us. He was their best player in that game. Cam Spencer, Alex Caravan both got hot late. Caravan was hitting some insane threes. UConn is just so good.
We'll get to more UConn later, but moving on to the next NCAA March Madness game. The Cinderella, quote-unquote, story, the NC State Wolfpack took on the Purdue Boilermakers, led by Zach Edey, and Purdue took them down 63-50. Zach Edey had one heck of a game with 20 points, 12 rebounds. As for the NC State Wolfpack, DJ Holm had 20 points, and everybody's favorite player, DJ Burns, had probably his worst game of the tournament with 8 points. Zach Edey really locked him down in all facets of the game, and Purdue stamped their ticket to the finals. Any opinions on this game?
Magic just kind of ran out. DJ Burns kind of met his match against Edey. He dominated. It was a really slow-paced game. NC State had some shooting struggles throughout the tournament and were lucky enough to, like, have other teams shoot just as poorly. And it kind of came back to bite them in this. DJ Horn being, like, the only real player on NC State other than Burns that can create a shot really hurt them here. And, of course, Burns isn't going to be able to create a shot when he has a 7'4", 300-pound great wall guarding him. You know what I'm saying? But Edey played really well down the stretch, and Purdue got good play from their guards, and that's kind of what got them the win.
For sure. And then moving on to the final game of March Madness, the national championship, the Purdue Boilermakers took on the Connecticut Huskies, and the Huskies, the UConn Huskies, go back-to-back national championships, taking on the Boilermakers 75-60. Zach Edey played the game of his life. This was not necessarily on him. 37 points, 10 rebounds. He did everything he could, but it was not enough, as Tristan Newton had a heck of a game with 20 points, 7 assists, and 5 rebounds. Stephon Castle, once again, showing out with 15 points. So UConn dominated the entire series. Their closest game was against Alabama. It was a great tournament. I will say that. The Huskies are the first team in 17 years to go back-to-back national championships, so a big achievement for UConn. Anything to add?
Yeah, Tristan Newton, back-to-back most outstanding player of the tournament. That's pretty insane. They have a few guys that are all-time greats in college basketball, including Tristan Newton, Zach Edey. I know this is from Purdue, but he is an all-time great in college basketball, whether you like him or not. He absolutely showed out. He was the only Purdue player that showed up to play last night. Their guards and wings were absolutely terrible. I mean, he had 37 of their 60. UConn just couldn't be stopped. The game was never really in reach.
Mm-hmm. If you were anybody in this game that played, who do you think makes it to the NBA?
I mean, there's going to be a lot, but the best NBA player out of this game is probably Castle, maybe Clingan.
Mm-hmm. Are they like projected like top 10 guys?
Yeah, I mean, Castle and Clingan are top 10 for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like.
What about Newton?
I don't think so, just because of his age, but he definitely should get drafted late first or early second, even with his age.
Yeah.
People should look at drafting Cam Spencer, too. I mean, I know he's old, too, but he's such an athletic guard. He's always on the ball. He can track rebounds very well, especially for his size, and then he's got a great jump shot, too. So I expect everybody in UConn starting five to get drafted.
Wow.
Except for maybe, well, let's see. Okay, so Tristan Newton, Clingan, Castle, Cam Spencer,
That's four. Yeah,
four.
Yeah.
I don't know if Caravan will get drafted. Oh, man. But, yeah, four of their five should get drafted.
That's still unbelievable.
Yeah.
So now let's move on to our main segment, our NBA playoff predictions. Each of us have made a complete bracket going from the play-in all the way to the NBA Finals with the winner, Finals MVP, and the whole shebang. Let's get it started. We'll kind of go one by one here, and we'll start with all of us going through our West play-in, then our East play-in, West first round, East first round, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll go around the table. We'll start with Nick, then Caden, then me. Kick it off. Should we go game by game or section by section?
And we're going based off the standings as of April 9th.
As of April 9th, 2024.
At 2:41 p.m.
At 2:41 p.m. Because there are games to be played. Anything can happen.
Okay.
So let's get it started. Nick, let's
go. All right, so we're doing East first, right?
West.
Okay, so my Western Conference
game. We'll just start with the Lakers-Warriors first.
Okay, for my Lakers-Warriors game, I had the Lakers winning this game with ease, honestly. The Warriors have not been good. The Lakers have been really good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I got the Lakers.
Yeah, same. 2-for-2. Lakers, I just think even when LeBron's not hot, Austin Reeves has proved himself to be like a great third option, and Anthony Davis has been having a career year as well.
And D'Angelo Russell on top
of that. Yeah, and D'Lo. I mean, yeah, you can honestly say D'Lo is a third option if you want to. I just think the Lakers are the better team. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah. Yeah, I also have the Lakers beating the Warriors. The Lakers are on an absolute tear as of right now, and they're kind of doing what they do every single year. They start off really slow in the first half of the year, and then post All-Star break, they just go on an absolute tear, and it leads to a playoff run. So I do have the Lakers beating the Warriors, who are cold as of late, and the Lakers, I'm pretty sure, are like 12-2 or something in their last 14. Everybody has stepped up. D'Angelo Russell, Reeves, like you guys talked about. AD's having a career season. He's actually played nearly every single game this season, which is kind of unheard of for Anthony Davis. So even when LeBron's not going crazy, everybody else steps up. So I have the Lakers taking on the Warriors and eliminating them from playoff contention.
So next up, we have New Orleans, Sacramento.
Yep.
This series, I'm going to go with New Orleans. They're just the more talented team, especially with Sacramento having both their shooting guards injured. It's just not going to be really a contest having no bench scoring when you have the best bench player in the league, you know, and then you lose him. It's just, you know, you're not going to be able to produce as much offense as you possibly could.
Yeah, I think the Pels having Zion down low is going to force the Kings guards to beat him. And without Monk and Herder, I don't know if Fox can do all of that on his own. I think Zion's going to have a huge game. I don't see Sabonis being able to guard Zion.
No, me neither.
CJ McCollum as well. I think the Pels are just going to be too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the Kings fan here, so I'm going to say this. I think the Pelicans win this game by probably 30 points. 30, maybe 35. This happens every single time Sacramento plays the Pelicans. I'm pretty sure in every game this season, because the Pelicans swept us, the Pelicans combined or like average score of beating the Kings is probably around 30. And now without Monk, without Kevin Herter, De'Aaron Fox is going to be forced to carry this game offensively because, I mean, yes, Keon Ellis has been phenomenal the post All-Star break. He has been so much better than I honestly thought he would be, but it's not going to be enough to take down McCollum and Zion and Brandon Ingram and all these names.
Yeah, their offense is so good. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think the Pelicans win this game by probably 30-plus points.
Yeah.
That's not to say the Kings are bad because they're still going to have a shot. They're still going to have a second game, and it's against a team they notoriously play well. So I do think the Pelicans win this game in convincing fashion, in New Orleans as well. So
are we staying in the West, or are we going to go up to the
East? We'll stay in the West.
Okay. So for that final game, the 8-9.
We all have Lakers-Kings.
Yeah. I, sadly to say it, Jamie, I do have the Lakers winning. It's too much without the scoring and without the spacing and the injuries. I just don't see it happening. Not this year with all the injuries and with – you know, y'all playing two All-Stars, and, you know, then on top of that, D'Angelo Russell and all everything else that they have, it's just going to be very hard for y'all to match the offense. Not the defense. It's the offense problem because y'all are lacking y'all's third, in my opinion, y'all's second-best scorer, and then you're arguably sometimes best shooter. So.
No, he probably is the best shooter.
Yeah.
Kevin Herter's been too inconsistent this season.
I would just say Keegan Murray is up there as well.
Yeah, he's been inconsistent too. He's been in a sophomore slump.
Yeah. Yeah, same thing. Lakers are going to beat the Kings, in my opinion. I just don't see any world where to win either game, De'Aaron Fox is going to have to score 50. 50.
And
then
Sabonis will have to have like 20, 20,
hey,
and 20.
That could happen. De'Aaron Fox is great, and he's clutch. He's got that clutch gene. He's a winner. But that's it. That's what it's going to take to beat the Pels with having Zion down low, or with the Lakers with having AD down low. It's literally just going to fall on De'Aaron Fox's hands to just absolutely carry the offense. Yep.
Caden Johnson here just said he doesn't see a world. I see the world.
You see the world.
I see the world. I think with the way Sacramento plays the Lakers, and it's really every time De'Aaron Fox has the game of his life against L.A., it's never really been a Malik Monk problem when it comes to playing L.A. It's always De'Aaron Fox who goes out and plays his absolute hardest. I think he averages 35 a game versus the Lakers. And Sabonis also. And in the Domantas Sabonis era of Sacramento, the Kings have never lost to the Lakers. Sabonis dominates AD every single time. Without Monk, without Herter, I understand it. But in Sacramento, because as of right now, the Kings are the higher seed, which is a notoriously tough place to play, especially with that home crowd and how loud it gets. I think the Kings barely edge it out.
There's going to be more Lakers fans.
They could. They're really
It's realistic,
could.
But Sacramento
fans
are much
loyal.
The Lakers
are 0.5 away from being
they're right there.
The 8 seed.
They're right there.
That
but
is crazy.
I think as of right now, 47 now, I think the Kings barely edge it out. Now, I don't have them going anywhere after the first round. They're going to get annihilated in the first round. But I think with the way they play the Lakers every time, Sabonis is probably going to have 15 and 25. Fox will probably end up with 35 because he's going to be forced to beat him. And he does every time. So I'm going to take the Kings over the Lakers.
We're going
to
live in a world where LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Austin Reeves, and D'Angelo Russell don't make the playoffs.
And Steph Curry.
Yeah, see that.
And it's because of Domantas Sabonis.
Are we moving up to the East play-in?
Yeah, Steph Curry.
East
play-in
or what?
East play-in.
Okay. So East play-in, the first game is Atlanta versus Chicago. And this game, I think that Trae Young is still going to be, feeling hurt. So I'm going to pick the Bulls to win.
Ooh, spicy.
Okay. Well,
I'm just, no, nah, I'm. Yeah, I said it already, so why not? Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Okay, I like it.
Stick with it. Yeah, I mean, that's not a crazy pick at all. The Bulls have the talent to win. And that's what's crazy about these play-in games is it's one game. But with that being said, with it being one game, I trust Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. They can get hot. Jalen Johnson and Clint Capella have both been playing really well as of late. And I think the Hawks are just going to be a little too much for the Bulls.
Yeah, I'm on that same train. I play fantasy basketball, and I had to play against Jalen Johnson and Caden Johnson. And Jalen Johnson played like prime Kevin Garnett. And so I think that's going to carry on into the play-in. Even with Trae Young and his injury status, I think the Hawks pulled this one out because the Bulls, it's not the team we thought they would be, especially when they had Lonzo and they were the first seed in the East just a year ago or 2 years ago, whatever it was. But with Zach LaVine out, I just don't see a world where they beat Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, Jalen Johnson, Clint Capella. It's just such a good team. It's well-constructed, and I think the Hawks take it over Chicago.
So next up, it's Miami and Philly.
Yep,
I think Miami wins it. I think that they're too serious compared to last year because they went to the finals last year and they want to – they want to get back. That's the goal for every team. But Miami, I do not see them losing to Philly. Bam Adebayo, in my opinion, has been the third best center in the NBA this season. He's been better than Jimmy Butler this season. Then you add in how good Jimmy Butler, Terry Rozier, that whole bench is in the playoffs. And then you add Terry instead of Kyle Lowry, they're going to be really good this year. So,
yeah, hot take. It may be different than y'all. I have Sixers winning this one. I just think having Joel Embiid back is huge. He's like 80% right now, and he's still putting up crazy numbers. I think he's going to continue to do that into the play-in and even the playoffs. I think Joel Embiid, like really just Joel Embiid. And then you got Tyrese Maxey. A lot of people are saying he's going to be an all-NBA player. I've seen him in multiple like third-team all-NBA groups. He dropped 50 the other night. He can get it done.
Yeah, he is great.
If he gets hot, Kelly Oubre stays hot, and then you've got Tobias Harris guarding on the wings. I just don't know if Jimmy Butler and Bam alone are going to be enough. Terry Rozier is kind of a streaky shooter. He's had some really big inconsistencies this year, along with a lot of their other shooters as well. I think the Sixers get it done.
Yeah, in this one, it's the 7 seed taking on the 8 seed with the Sixers being the 7. I'm taking the 76ers in this one. I think Joel Embiid being back is huge. Embiid, people are quick to forget, was the MVP of the season through however many games he played, whatever, like
he's
20,
really
30,
good.
Whatever it was. He was averaging like 33 a game with 12 boards, like two blocks. He was amazing. He had no flaws in his game, and he's finally come back from that surgery, and he's slowly amping his play up, and I think by that time, because the plan is not for another, what, 9 days?
It's like eight.
Yeah, 8 or 9 days. I think Joel Embiid by then will be at least 90-95%, and I think that's enough to take down the Miami Heat, because really all you need is an MVP-level guy on your team, and you should be able to get out of the plan. So I have the Sixers moving on.
Okay, so then that's, for me at least, I would be having the 76ers versus the Chicago Bulls in this game, regardless of who Philly plays, in my opinion. Even if Atlanta wins, I think Philly wins. So I think I will have the 76ers playing the Boston Celtics in the first round and the Miami Heat playing the Milwaukee Bucks.
I have the Heat beating the Hawks barely in this one, and I think being in Miami is going to play a factor. I think this is going to be a really, really close game, just because I do think, once again, the Hawks' offense is going to be enough to overpower the Heat's solid defense. But I just don't see a world where the Heat miss the playoffs completely. Jimmy Butler is going to be Jimmy Butler in this game, and he's going to get them to a very, very close win, kind of similar to last season when they played the Bulls in that elimination game and kind of edged it out. We're down like 12 with like 3 minutes left and came back and won.
Yeah, for sure. I also have the Miami Heat taking down the Atlanta Hawks in this playing game. The Heat have been without Tyler Hero. He just came back, I think, 2 days ago. But before that, they were without him for, I want to say, 19 or 20 games. So having Hero back is huge. Former Sixth Man of the Year. Jaime Jaquez has been one of the best rookies in the NBA. Jimmy Butler, he's playoff Jimmy Butler. It's a real legitimate thing. He's going to go out and cook. I think it will be a close game with how well-built that Hawks roster is. But the Miami Heat do crazy things. They were in the play-in last year, and they made it all the way to the NBA Finals. I think they take down the Hawks this season. Also, Rob Dillingham just declared for the 2024 NBA draft.
That.
So that's some big news regarding the draft. That's a top three pick type of guy. So, yeah, that's pretty cool news, breaking news.
Okay.
So let's move on to our first round of the West.
Okay, so my 1-8 would be the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. For that, I don't think this is too crazy to say. I have the Lakers winning. The Timberwolves will not have Karl Anthony Towns. So, I mean, there's a big hole in their offense there. And then they're playing the team that went to the Western Conference Finals last season with Spencer Dinwiddie added on to it, Gabe Vincent, Christian Wood. Despite everybody being injured, doesn't matter. They still have a great bench on top of, you know, those two guys being hurt. So
I have the Wolves beating the Lakers in 7.
I'd love to see that happen.
Yeah.
I just don't see it happening.
I don't know.
Oh,
my bad
to stop you.
Yeah,
but
you're good.
I had the Lakers winning in 6.
Okay. I have the Wolves winning in 7. I just think Ant's going to go crazy. They don't have anybody that can guard him.
No, they don't.
At all.
Nope.
They have nobody that can guard him. He'll average 33 through the series. And I think Rudy Gobert can realistically shut down Anthony Davis. And then it just boils down to, like, is LeBron good enough right now to carry a team offensively through a series?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably
I mean, he might be, but doing it against the one seed is a different story. They're the one seed for a reason. Cat or no cat, I like the Wolves. I do think this could go either way. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers did win in 6, like you were saying. But I'm going to be a little lenient to the Wolves. They've been good all season. That roster's meshed really well.
And
I got them in 7.
And I like your point about LeBron being able to carry. But I don't know. I mean, he did it last year, but I just don't think he'll be able to do it again through 3 rounds, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I don't think so either.
And then also my bad. Also, Denver is tied with Minnesota right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if they win, then the Lakers could play them first round.
Yeah, the Nuggets. And if that's the case, it's a sweep.
Sweep. Yeah.
Nuggets in 4.
Yeah. My first round matchup is the Timberwolves taking on the Sacramento Kings. And I think the Kings steal one game. And then every other game, the Timberwolves will probably annihilate Sacramento by probably 15, 20 points. But being without Malik Monk, I think if they have Malik and Herter, this series probably goes to 6, maybe 7. But without those two, especially Malik Monk, the probably lock Sixth Man of the Year, the Timberwolves are going to find a way and just destroy Sacramento. Anthony Edwards, his time is now. He's only, what, 22?
Yep, 22.
22 years old, and he's already looking like one of the best players in the entirety of the NBA. Not just shooting guards, not just best 22-year-olds. He is one of the best players in the NBA. And so I think he's going to lead them past Sacramento and get the T-Wolves to the second round alongside guys like Rudy Gobert, Jaden McDaniels, yada, 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 Mike Conley.
So do you think Anthony Edwards is better than De'Aaron Fox today, like right now?
As of right now, I probably would take Anthony Edwards over De'Aaron Fox. But De'Aaron, that's not a shot towards De'Aaron.
No,
De'Aaron's still probably top 15, 20.
I think
20.
It's top 10 almost.
Yeah,
so.
I think De'Aaron Fox is right outside of that. So
yeah.
They're both phenomenal, both all-NBA level type of guys. So. But Ant has been on a tear this season. Got him to the one seed, so I'll take Ant this year.
So are we going back to 1-8 up East, or are we?
Do you guys want to wipe out the West?
Let's stick it out with the West.
Okay.
All right.
So my 2-7, I have Denver versus New Orleans. In that series, that's kind of like a rematch from last year for Denver in the first round when they played Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, you know, a young team and facing injuries to an extent, and I have Denver winning in 4. So
Not crazy.
Because I mean this is the best team in the NBA besides
You
know, they are to an extent.
Yeah.
The best, I mean they're the reigning champs. I mean but yeah, I think Denver wins this in 4, and I think that, you know, this is gonna be a big series for Jokic against Zion. So
I have the Pels stealing a game. I have the same matchup, Nuggets Pels. I think Nuggets win in 5. Jokic and Jamal Murray are just going to be just too good. Just too good. And I think I'm generous for giving them a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the same wavelength. I also have Nuggets taking down the Pels in 5. Just because that roster in New Orleans, it's still a very well-built roster with CJ at the 1. Zion has been having a very, very good year at the 4 spot. And, I mean, that bench is one of the best in the NBA with guys like Trey Murphy and Herb Jones and all these other names. So, I think just because of that, they'll steal a game in New Orleans. But other than that, the Nuggets will wipe them. So I got the Nuggets at 5 because Jokic is a different level of player.
Okay, for the 3-6, I have OKC versus Phoenix. So we get to see KD go back to OKC. That'll be a really good series,
I think.
You know, and I told them to earlier, I think regardless of the outcome, if KD's talking a lot to the fans, I think that kind of wipes out any sort of potential for him to get a jersey retirement or statue or anything. Because, I mean, they already still boo him to this day.
Yep.
It's kind of crazy.
It has been a long time.
It's a little ridiculous.
I mean, I'm over it.
I'm getting ridiculous. It's been like 8 years.
As a Westbrook fan, I'm over it. So it's not really like a big deal. So, but whatever.
I mean, they're not winning anything if he sticks it out there.
Who?
The Thunder. He could spend his career there and they would not have won a championship.
I disagree.
Westbrook's not a championship level player.
I disagree. I think they could have won, and
they could have, best case scenario, won one. Westbrook's like MVP.
But one thing is, they were hurt every single solitary year that he was there.
Yeah, and they also just couldn't draft.
Yeah,
like,
they
were.
We had the 14th pick, and we drafted Cameron Payne over Devin Booker.
Yeah, exactly.
Could you imagine if D Book was there?
He was supposed to. You know, we were supposed to trade James Harden for Bradley Beal.
Jeez.
Yeah, well, then, I mean, think about Harden and John Wall.
So it would be Westbrook, Beal, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Serge Ibaka, or Steven Adams, whoever.
Something
jeez.
Like that. Yeah. God, 2017, 2018, having John Wall and James
Harden
on the same team.
That would have been crazy. Jeez.
Oh, that's true.
But maybe like the best backcourt like of all time.
Yeah, it would definitely be up there with Westbrook and Harden. But anyway, for that series, though, I have Phoenix winning in – I'm going to edit – what I had before, I have Phoenix winning in 6. OKC is the youngest team in the NBA and in the NBA playoffs, and there's no way you can tell me that they are going to beat Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker
in the playoffs
and think that they're going to win anything more than 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen.
Ooh.
Okay, for one, Shea has been, and I know y'all know I'm a big Shea hater, I'm not just saying this, he has been really bad since he's been coming back from injury. Bat. Like, his points went from 32 to 30. I mean, so that's just a big drop off.
Like a few games.
Yeah. So, and then already they don't have a big man. So who is guarding Kevin Durant in the post? Because he's going to – Chet Holmgren will get 50 dropped on him at least once.
Probably.
KD.
Yeah, I think
– in the playoffs especially.
I think their defensive schematics, though, of gambling a lot more on defense. They rotate a lot. I think that alone is enough to keep them in the series. That's the big thing about OKC, is that they haven't just built a team of like streaky shooters and streaky ISO players They like actually have a good foundation. Everybody on their team can defend at a seriously high level. I think there's going to be a few games where they just completely shut the Suns down. And like I'm talking Devin Booker, KD, Bradley Beal. Like there's team,
you can't shut KD.
This
now.
Is going to a seven games. This is going to seven, and there are going to be multiple games. I mean, you got to think Brad Beal and D Book. One of them, probably Book, is going to be in the torture chamber. And no, the other is getting.
I don't see. I don't see Devin Booker being put in a torture chamber.
I can see Beal, but
I can see Beal.
You're not stopping KD or Booker. Yeah,
Booker's
probably the best scorer. They were putting Kawhi Leonard on Booker last year, and he was still.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, there is going to be multiple games this series where they do get stopped. In the end, I have Phoenix winning in seven, but they, like this is not going to be a pushover. OKC is too good defensively. For this to be a pushover, KD's gonna get his every game, like you're saying. I don't think he's gonna dominate in the post.
I think
he's not physical enough to dominate a taller defender.
When you're facing
like
Chet Holmgren, who's just as skinny as he is.
Yeah. But he's that's
oh
what
my
I'm saying.
Gosh, he's gonna cook Chet.
But Chet has the wingspan on him. He's gonna cook Chet, but he's gonna cook him from outside. He's not gonna play in the post, like you guys are thinking. I think he's gonna draw Chet outside, and try and
I mean,
go
that
iso
lanes
and
for Bradley
isolate
Beal.
On him.
And Bradley Beal's
yeah,
great
but Bradley
slasher.
Beal's gonna have Giddey or Shea or Dort on him.
I mean, if he has Giddey on him,
if Bradley Beal has Dort on him, he's not gonna do anything.
No, but then
that opens it up for Devin Booker.
Yeah, and Shea is not. I don't care.
Devin
what
Booker
Shea
might be the best scorer in the
not
NBA.
Guarding Booker, he's one of the most overrated.
I'm not telling
in the
you
NBA.
He can consistently guard him for seven games. Like obviously, Devin Booker's good enough. He's a top 10, top 8 player in the NBA.
I mean,
he's gonna get
than
his.
Shea, in my opinion.
He's gonna get his in a few of these games. But OKC is good enough defensively.
Yeah.
Everybody on their team can defend. J-Dub can defend. So it doesn't really matter who you throw on them. Like, anybody in their starting five is an mm-hmm. elite defender.
This is fine.
I like that take. But, ooh. We're probably looking at a world where KD's getting
out.
Guarded by Jalen Williams.
Yeah,
and
probably.
He'll average 40 in the series.
Yeah.
J-Dub's
6'5".
J-Dub is my favorite player on the team and really the only player I like on that team.
Yeah, but it's different. J-Dub's going to guard him out on the three.
They'll
and then when he gets inside, that they're going to swing Chet over. And Jusuf Nurkic is not good enough to capitalize.
They'll
off,
probably
off
put
of
Dub
like,
on
Grayson.
I think they may put J-Dub on Booker. Maybe.
I
think
yeah,
they might put
size,
the
same
Dort
size.
On Beal.
And, they're going to try to put Shea on KD. That's not going to go good at all.
No. I mean, legit, KD's a mismatch for everybody on that team.
Huh?
KD's a mismatch for everybody on that
yeah,
team.
KD's yeah, KD's that he is. He's
I
a
think
human
Booker
mismatch.
Is too.
He's
yeah.
Booker's a 6'7 point guard.
I honestly don't think it's crazy to say he's the
he's
best scorer in the NBA.
He's 6'5.
He's 6'5, 6'6 ish.
I mean, he looks taller than that,
but
he plays taller than that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think Booker's great. I think KD's great. KD's probably the best scorer of all time.
Yep.
Booker is one of the best shot creators I've ever seen. But I'm just saying, OKC. This is like a perfect roster. Like everybody in their starting five complements
starting
each other
five is good,
about
yeah.
as well.
But it's so young. I think I don't
and
know.
They
I
no
agree.
They
I'm
no
not saying
men.
They're gonna win, but I'm. There is no way that this series goes to less than six.
I said six.
And
yeah,
and
I
like I
six.
Think OKC has a better chance of winning the series than getting beat in six.
I don't see them beating them.
I mean, I don't think it'll happen, but I think that's more likely than the Suns just going out there and whooping them.
Well, I don't think that'll happen either. I think it'll be a good series to six. I think Phoenix will win every game on the road. That's what I think.
Like Phoenix will win every home game
they'll
play?
They'll win because they'll play the third, the fourth, and then...
Yeah, that's not crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I think, too. Phoenix wins all three at home and then takes one on the road
yeah.
in game seven because
yes.
it would be in OKC. Ooh, Kevin Durant and OKC for game seven.
Dude, that's going
to
be crazy.
That's what I have.
To
they're going to boo him like crazy. That's going to be one of the best series we've ever seen. But moving on to what I think will be the best series.
I didn't even get to talk.
Yeah,
I didn't even go.
No, because
you
know what?
I'm
going to
stop the podcast right now.
Good.
We're 40 minutes in and we're in the second game of the first round.
Go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, so I have the Phoenix Suns taking down the OKC Thunder in seven games. Just because Kevin Durant is the best player I've seen with my own two eyes and live in person. I watched him face the Boston Celtics, who might be the best defensive team in the NBA, and he had 45 points. And I'm pretty sure like 12 rebounds. There is no stopping the man named Kevin Durant. And then you add Devin Booker onto that, who's averaging 30 a game he's one of the most pure players I've ever seen. And Bradley Beal, who when I went to that Celtics game with guys like Derek White and Jrue Holiday on him, he still had, I'm pretty sure, 26, 27 points. I just don't think the Thunder have an option for that type of team, especially when you're facing a two-time Finals MVP, Devin Booker, who led the Phoenix Suns to the NBA Finals just 2-3 years ago, and Bradley Beal, who has a bunch of playoff experience from those prime years in Washington. I think Phoenix is terrifying. I don't want to face them at all if I'm in this playoffs. Phoenix, they are so good, and I have them taking down the OKC Thunder. It's going to be great, though. I want to see KD. I have it going to seven, and okay. If I were to pick an MVP, it would be KD. I think he averages probably like 36 a game this series.
Okay. Clippers versus the Dallas Mavericks. In this series, I have the Clippers winning in six.
Wow.
Okay. And reason being, I mean, the Clippers, in my opinion, and I'm a person that watches, I've watched every single game Westbrook has played in this season. They have the best bench in the NBA, in my opinion. Westbrook, Norman Powell, you have the ability to switch off either Mason Plumlee or Daniel Tice. Amir Coffey has been...
He's really good.
I mean, he's just really good. Like, he is really... He's yeah. insanely good, and it's just ridiculous how good he is, like,
yeah.
genuinely.
Yeah.
And then you add on... Because there's been a stereotype for James Harden that he is not a good playoff performer, but Caden, you can say...
Oh, yeah. I got to see that last year.
He's a great
30-something-year-old James Harden, 39 in, like, a game five.
Exactly.
Just killed us.
And then you add on Westbrook and Kawhi, who are historically... Kawhi specifically is, in my opinion, the best playoff performer in our lifetime. And, yeah, since 2003, that seems pretty valid. And then you add on Westbrook, who...
He's mad.
I mean, but... All right, well, that's another thing. But Westbrook, though, like, Westbrook is historically very good. And then Paul George, he's a good playoff round one performer. So I expect them to all play very good. Then you add on Terrence Mann, who, if y'all remember 2021 playoffs, he was really good. And so, yeah, I think that is what will put them ahead. And they just have too many options offensively versus the Mavericks, who do have a decent amount, but they're more defensive-oriented around their depth, unlike the Clippers, who do have a good defense. But when you have Westbrook and Norman Powell off the bench, they just have nobody on the bench that can keep up with them scoring. And Tim Hardaway is good, but Norman Powell and Westbrook is better than Tim Hardaway and Dante Exum. So,
yeah, Dante Exum has been really good
and
this
year. And he's been great.
Yeah, he's been
no
great.
Dante Exum is actually probably as good as Norman Powell this year. As crazy as that sounds.
I think Norman Powell is the second best bench player in the league.
Behind who?
Malik Monk.
I like that.
And I think Westbrook's 4 or 5.
Yeah, yeah.
Josh Hart's 3.
What about Tim Hardaway?
Probably he's either behind Westbrook or right in front of him. He's either 4 or 6.
I think that Luka Doncic this year is the best player in the NBA. And I think Kyrie and him have found a perfect way to, like, work together in the backcourt, and they've been one of the best backcourts I've ever seen. Like, we watched them play the other day. Kyrie had 48, and it didn't stunt Luka at all.
Luka still had
30 Kyrie points, is so good. Yeah, Luka had, like, 37, yeah. 9, and 11 or something like that. Luka's so good, and their moves of getting P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford show how committed they are to winning this year. And I think this will be a year that the Mavericks have some serious playoff success. I have them beating the Clippers in 7 games in the first round. I just think Luka Doncic is just going to be a man on a mission. I don't care who they throw at him. I think he's going to score 37 a game. And I think Kyrie, the attention that Luka is going to draw is going to just create Kyrie Irving, who people forget is still... I mean, come on. When you're in the playoffs, Kyrie's a top 20 player in the NBA.
I was about to say something about, do you remember that series that y'all had against him where y'all sweeped him? And how he performed in that playoffs and how he's performed since that series in the playoffs.
But I'm telling you, this year Kyrie feels like it's coming a little different, and the attention that Luka is going to draw...
You put Kawhi on him, and then you put Paul George on Kyrie. And
Luka is also one of the best playoff performers that we've ever seen.
Westbrook,
36
this
in the playoffs.
Whole season, and really...
I'm telling you, Luka is good enough offensively to overcome Kawhi being on him.
Yeah.
Like, he's gonna give Kawhi a bucket.
I don't doubt it.
And that's not crazy to say,
because
there's only two players in the league that could do that,
and
it's
KD
and Luka.
Yeah, but I don't think that – I think, yeah, maybe if you – I think that you can stop Kyrie.
You
got to
take into account, too, Luka hates the Clippers.
He
like,
does.
Hates
yeah,
the
yeah,
Clippers.
Yeah. But I just – I don't see – if the Clippers are fully healthy, I do not see Kawhi Leonard. He has never lost in the first round of his career.
He's about to.
Ever. No, he's not.
Yeah, I just think
this is a
Mavericks year. I think Luka is going to quiet a lot of doubters, especially the people that try to say that he can't play with anybody. I think him and Kyrie get along really well. They seem like they're good friends on and off court, and they have great chemistry as a team. PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford, now that they're on a team with somewhat of a winning culture, seem more motivated than ever. PJ Washington's playing with a lot of confidence. And then they have bench scoring too. Like Exum is having a career year. Like he has made an NBA career off of this year.
I agree with that, yeah.
And Tim Hardaway is a sixth man of the year candidate. I think at one point he was averaging like 17 a game this year. I think the Mavs do have the weapons. They have the scoring options. And then just having Kyrie Irving, who, like I was saying, you know, right now he may be in the 25 to 30 range of NBA players. But comes playoff times, there's not many more guards in the NBA that I would rather have in the playoffs than Kyrie Irving.
I just think that there's going to be a game for the Clippers. Each one of those stars is going to go off. And Kawhi is going to play
there,
good
there
every
might be,
single
there,
series.
I mean, I have it going to seven. Like, there are going to be games where it's just too much, where having Kawhi score 30 and PG with 35 and Harden with 20.
But the thing is, though, is that, like, I feel like a little bit of recency bias is in there due to how bad they've been recently, but that's accustomed to Paul George being hurt and being
bad. I mean, that recency bias, you can't really use that term when you're talking about going into the playoffs.
Well, I'm saying, like, as far as the Clippers have been bad the last 2 months, and then now they're starting to play good because Paul George isn't hurt anymore.
And Westbrook is bad.
Exactly. That too. See, that is the main thing, is him. He is the X factor. Like, Russell Westbrook is the X factor. Like, when we played the Mavericks,
I think it's situational, but
yeah, I think
we can't win series, without there's Westbrook. A different X factor. Like, I feel like your playoff X factor is more Paul George. Like, because Paul George can go out there and same with Harden, because Harden's been playing terrible lately. Paul George can go out there and lay an egg, and this series gets over quick.
Yeah,
like Luka or Kyrie drops 35 on Paul George's head.
They're going to be consistent.
But I feel like Kawhi is going to be more consistent than anybody as well. And then
I think Luka, Kawhi, and Kyrie are going to have a big game every single
game. And Westbrook is historically going to too. I mean, look at last year.
Yeah, but there's only so much that Westbrook can do when he has Harden, Paul George, and Kawhi on the team. He's not going
to
get the touches that you think.
Oh, he doesn't have to. It's not about the touches or the points.
I don't think he'll get more than 15 in a game.
What,
like
points? Oh, I'm not worried about getting points. I'm worried about Remember that game he had against Denver. Phoenix last year, where he was just locking Devin Booker up and blocked the game-winning shot, threw it back on him. He's going to do that the whole series. And that gets unappreciated.
I just don't think he can do that the whole series. I don't think Kawhi Leonard can do
You don't think
can
he can
do
the defensive stuff? That's what he's done all season.
Yeah, I don't think Kawhi Leonard can guard Luka like that for a whole series.
Yeah, but like what I'm saying is the hustle plays. Westbrook's going to do that the whole series, no matter what's going on. He's going to do it the whole series.
I don't know. I mean,
that's what he does. What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think he can too. But I mean, with that taken into the account, I still think that.
But to say you don't know is crazy. That's what he does. What he's done for 15 years.
No, I was just going to go into my playoff prediction because I was basing it off of
just rolling.
No, I'm not doubting Westbrook's ability in the playoffs because he's notoriously good. I know that. But I think Luka Doncic is another level of player that we have never seen before.
Yeah, he is.
That's why I have the Mavericks beating the Clippers in 7 games. Luka Doncic is, and the Mavericks as a whole, since that PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford trade, when you look at that, you don't think of it much because it's not a superstar trade, but it's two of the best role players in the NBA. And they have been phenomenal post All-Star break, post trade deadline. They have been unreal. In their last 10 games, they're 9-1. They have lost one game. It's just unbelievable what they're doing. Kyrie and Luka have finally found their chemistry after all of this time, and it has resulted in nothing but wins. Like Caden said earlier, Kyrie had that 48-point game. It didn't stunt Luka at all. He still had a 37-point, almost triple-double. He is unreal, and I think with Luka Doncic's notorious playoff success and Kyrie Irving being a notorious playoff performer, especially now with Luka Doncic, who's going to kick the rock out to him for those open shots and kick out to PJ Washington, who's hitting more open shots than I've ever seen him hit in his entire career. And you have Tim Hardaway off the bench. Dante Exum has been nothing but clutch for the Dallas Mavericks.
Gafford
down low. Gafford has been unbelievable. He's been so much better than Maxi Kleba at that 5 spot. I think it's their time to get on that playoff run. I think they beat the Clippers in 7. I think every game will probably be close because you have the Kawhi Leonard, because you have Russell Westbrook, and I think Paul George will have that game where he's going to have probably 35 plus, but he's also going to have that game where he has 9 points and shoots shoots like 3
and
for 25.
Same
with Harden.
Yep.
Like,
but it's not like Kyrie doesn't have games like that.
Yeah, but Kyrie, I'm just telling you, the way that he's Luka playing Doncic now, the situation that he has now, you can't focus that much attention onto Kyrie because Luka will score 65.
If they run
a defensive scheme where Paul George and Kawhi, switch off each other to help guard Kyrie, Luka will literally score 65.
And he's gonna shoot 75% from the field while doing it. He's the best player I've seen with my own two eyes. I'm sorry, Nikola Jokic, you're right there.
Yeah.
But Luka Doncic has done unbelievable things. I have them beating the Clippers in a very close series because both teams are hot. I'm not saying the Clippers aren't hot. They're 7-3 in their last 10. But 9-1, I don't know, man.
If the Mavericks do win the series, I'm just going to laugh. Because how good Luka is. It's just ridiculous how good he is. It's really
onto the Black History Month logo.
It's just ridiculous how good he is.
I have an idea. So, since we're kind of running close on time already, why don't we just make this a Western Conference prediction and we'll do the East next week since it'll be before the play-in.
Let's
move on to round two of the West. So let's kick it off with whatever we have. So, the one, we'll start with, I guess it would be for you, the Lakers series, whoever they're facing.
Say that again?
So, we'll start with the second round of the West. I guess we could start with, because I'm pretty sure we all have like a different set.
Yeah, I have. So it's 1-4. So I'd have, Lakers versus Clippers.
So Battle of LA.
That's a little quote unquote Battle of LA. That's a little sweep. I don't care what either of y'all are talking about. That is a sweep. That's a sweep. We're not worried about that. Westbrook in LA versus that team. Then you have Kawhi Leonard, who
I think you're forgetting something.
Remember what you said about Kawhi has been able to stop everybody.
Mm-hmm.
One person that he's notoriously stopped two times is LeBron.
Yep, LeBron's true.
And, you know, I'm not worried about
you're forgetting D'Angelo Russell's a thug.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
you're forgetting he's a
thug. That's right. Put Westbrook on that. That's done.
Yeah,
but then we'll agree. Probably play small. We'll
Austin
probably play
Reeves'
small.
Legacy series. He averages like 40, 10, and 10.
Oh, my gosh. I would.
That would happen.
That would. I don't want to play
James Harden on him the whole time.
I really don't want to play the Lakers because I don't want to have to deal with the media going into that series. That would be horrible, and they would really want the Lakers to win that series. So I really hope that doesn't happen. But realistically, no, a sweep would not happen. But I do see – I could see the Clippers winning in 5.
Yeah.
All right. I have Mavs-Wolves for this series. I have the Mavs winning again in 7. I think this is another great series. Two of the best young stars in the league.
Okay.
And Luka. I'm really high on the Wolves. I mean, I just think even without Kat, like they've found a way, kind of like OKC. You don't have to have 5 superstars on your team to have a really good team. Like even with – they found ways to get guys like Jaden McDaniels, Kyle Anderson, like incorporated into roles that suit them perfectly. Like they're doing exactly what they need them to do. They're utilizing guys' strengths. And – Rudy Gobert is probably having the best season of his career.
Offensively.
I think that with that being said, I think the Wolves are defensively good enough to hold the Mavs for a few games and kind of hold their own in the series. They're going to have the home court advantage, which is going to help them a lot. Dallas fans, I know that Dallas has a lot more fans than Timberwolves, but traveling to Minnesota from Dallas, Texas is a different story. I have the Mavs winning in 7, though. Like I said, just
I thought
Luka.
You said the Wolves for some
no,
reason.
No, sorry. I do have the Wolves pushing it to 7. I think it's just going to come down to Luka. I mean, that's all you really got to say.
I also have Mavericks, Timberwolves. I have the Mavs in 7 games. I mean, really, Caden hit the nail on the head. The Timberwolves, yes, they're a phenomenal team. You have the 22-year-old Anthony Edwards, who, yes, is still young. I just don't think it's the T-Wolves' time yet, especially without Karl Anthony Towns. It's going to be hard to keep up with the fast-paced intensity of the Dallas Mavericks with Luka Doncic. He's going to average probably 38, 10, and 12 that series with Kyrie averaging probably 30. And then you have the P.J. Washington, Gafford, and Hardaway, and Exum. There's just too much on that team to kind of just lack off on because somebody is going to kill you on that team. It doesn't matter if it's Luka because even if you have all of your attention on Luka, and you're like triple teaming him the whole time, he's going to finish with probably 20 assists because that's what he does. He has eyes on the back of his head. He's the best passer I've seen in such a long time. He finds the open man even if he's not looking at him.
He's the best passer you've seen in some time?
In some time. I think it's like him, Halliburton.
You're forgetting, in my opinion, the greatest playmaker in NBA history.
Scott Skiles.
Nikola Jokic.
Oh, yeah, no, him too. I was gonna say him too.
I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah. You're really hurting my feelings. I'm gonna probably break down and cry here
in
a sec. But yeah, Luka, I think, is too much for the T-Wolves. Ant's probably gonna average 30 a game, but it's not enough for Luka.
Okay, so what is this? Is this the
6.
Mine is the 2.
Yeah, I have Nugget Suns.
Yeah, I also have Nugget Suns.
Okay, so we all have the same series.
Yeah, Nugget Suns.
Okay. Yeah, so for this one, I know neither of y'all are going to like my opinion on this, but I have Denver winning in 5.
Five.
I mean,
okay.
they swept them last year.
Yep.
Or they won in 5. It was one of the two.
Yeah,
but,
I think that, yeah.
But Denver is just too good defensively. They're not going to stop KD, but they stopped. They didn't necessarily stop Devin Booker, but he just didn't have a Devin Booker series. So mm-hmm. I think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a really good defender.
And he's so good.
The offense that Denver has is just going to be what wins them the game. It's just the offense that they have. So
yeah, I think the firepower of adding Brad Beal wins the Suns an extra game in this series. I have the Nuggets winning at 6, but neither Book or Beal are guarding Jamal Murray. Especially this late into the playoffs. This is where Jamal Murray is like a dog, like just a different beast. And then obviously the Nuggets don't have anybody that can guard Jokic. Jokic, if he wanted to in this series, could put up 36 a game.
Yeah. And that's with 10
light.
Rebounds.
Yeah, that's light. Like he probably could put up more if he wanted to.
Yeah. Oh, Yusuf Nurkic on him is going to be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Ooh,
that's
going to be bad.
That's asking for, like, this is not a good matchup for the Suns at all. I think Nuggets win in 6. And I think they're pretty quick about it, too. I think in the games they do win, they dominate. Just because they don't have anybody that can guard Jamal Murray. They don't have any, and they definitely don't have anybody that can guard Jokic.
Great minds think alike, because I also have the Nuggets taking down the Suns in 6. The Nuggets are coming off of an NBA title that was extremely impressive, and nobody talks about the contributions of Jamal Murray and his playoff success throughout his entire career. We saw what that man did in the bubble. He made a name for himself in 2020, and since then, even after that big injury he had just a couple years ago, last year, he was a huge help in winning that NBA Finals. And then, obviously, you have two-time league MVP, probably about to be three-time league MVP, Nikola Jokic, who is just unreal. That man does not move very fast, but the passes he makes, the vision he has, the scoring ability, you could play 23.9 seconds of phenomenal defense, Jokic will throw up a shot, and it is nothing but net. It could be from half court, and he's hitting it. It does not matter what you do to defend that man. It doesn't matter, because he's going to hit some, and the Suns don't have what it takes to defend him in a seven-game series, so yes, you have KD, Beal, and Booker. They're going to get them a couple games, but I think it's Denver in 6.
Okay.
So now we move to the Western Conference Finals.
So I'm the only one that has a different one. I have the Clippers versus the Denver Nuggets. So in this series, I have two different scenarios in this. I see if we see a Kawhi Leonard 2019 run, I see the Clippers winning in 7. But more realistically, I don't see that happening. So I have Denver winning in 7. And I feel like that's pretty reasonable considering how good we've been against them the last 2 or 3 years, even in the playoffs, whenever the Clippers were playing against them, whenever Westbrook wasn't on the team. So I think that it'll be a good series regardless of however that goes. And if Kawhi plays, you know, up to what his standard is, then I could see them winning in 7. So I think the series goes to 7.
I have Nuggets, Mavs for mine. Who do you have for your MVP in the series? We're going to do
Give me Jokic.
Yeah. All right. I have Nuggets, Mavs in this one, and I think it's another 7-game series. This time I just don't think the Luka Magic can win another Game 7 on the road. I do think, however, though, that the Mavs will still find success throughout this series. I think they're going to spread the floor. I think they're going to space the Nuggets out, which a lot of teams they have played, especially last year, were not able to do. The Lakers don't have that kind of spacing. The Suns did last year, but I mean they just were missing any sign. They were just missing any sort of size, and then the Heat don't really have good spacing as well. That being said, so I think the Mavs will find more success against the Nuggets than anybody else has in the last 2 years in the playoffs. With that spacing, I think P.J. Washington is going to have big games on the perimeter. Same with Tim Hardaway, and I think it'll win the Mavs a few games. But with that being said, Daniel Gafford nor Maxi Kleba is going to be able to guard Jokic in the paint. And even Luka and Kyrie aren't going to be able to hold Jamal Murray for a full 7-game series. They're going to get theirs. And then on the wings, who's going to guard MPJ? You know, so I do think the Nuggets win. I do think it's a really close series, and I think the Game 7 is even close. And I have Nikola Jokic winning the MVP just because, like I said, he's just going to dominate down low the whole series.
Yeah, I also have Mavericks Nuggets going to seven games. But I'm going to take the on this podcast, I make the crazy takes here. And so I'm going to have the Dallas Mavericks going over the Denver Nuggets in seven games.
Luka is going to be on a mission this year.
Exactly.
That's not crazy.
I also have you going to seven. I'm not saying Mavericks are going to sweep them or nothing, because these are two of the top teams in the NBA. The Mavericks have been on a tear, like I said earlier, since the All-Star break, since the trade deadline. And this team from top to bottom is just phenomenal. When you have Luka, who is second, presumably, possibly first, if something changes, in MVP voting, and possibly the best player in the NBA, I mean, good things are going to happen. You have Jokic, but I just don't think Jamal Murray is going to be able to guard one of Luka or Kyrie Irving for a seven-game series. I think Gafford has the ability to hold Jokic to games that aren't of Jokic standard, because Jokic is probably still going to get his triple-doubles, but rather it being a 35-15-15, it may be a 25-10-10, which is still phenomenal, but it's not beating Luka Doncic-type phenomenal. So I think Luka is going to find a way. He's called the Wonder Boy for a reason, and I think he's going to make the Dallas Mavericks back to the NBA Finals for the first time in over a decade.
That'd be so cool to watch, too.
Yeah. So I have the upset. I'm taking Luka and the Mavericks, making it out of the Western Conference. And my MVP is going to be Luka. Probably not going to average, 36-15-15. I'll say 31-12-10.
Yeah, I think he's going to be, if they are winning, like I said, he's going to be really focused on getting his role players going from outside, because that's mm-hmm. that's what it's going to take to win.
Because they have so many shooters with Exum and Hardaway. Mm-hmm. Derek Jones Jr. has really developed his three-point shot mm-hmm. this season.
P.J. Washington, just like you were saying, he's shooting it with more confidence than he ever has in
his career.
Even
Kleba can shoot it from down low. And you have Markieff Morris. There's just a lot of guys on that Mavericks team that can really just shoot the rock. So, yeah, Mavericks out of the West. You guys have Denver.
Yeah.
So, like I said earlier, we're kind of pushing it on time. So we're going to leave the Eastern Conference for next week.
Yeah. Quick question, though. If the Heat or the Thunder happen to win the conference finals, who would be the conference finals MVP?
The Heat or the Thunder?
It'd probably be a guy that could shoot but not really do anything else.
No, the NBA wants Shea to be.
No, it'd probably be like a guy that's won like multiple Israeli MVPs.
Probably, I would probably think Daquan Cook.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. Like, okay, it would probably be Daquan Cook.
Yeah,
well, the best Israeli player in Israel history.
Yeah, it's Daquan Cook.
It is.
Yeah.
Daquan Cook, if he was still in the league, would probably be
I mean, no, if you put him in the league today with all the shooting, he'd be great.
Yeah,
he'd
be fantastic.
Seriously, he would.
Yeah, he would
be.
He would.
I'm seeing at least 28 a game.
Yeah. I'm thinking like a humble like 14.
40?
14.
Oh.
1-4.
It was like a typo there. He meant to say 40.
He meant to say 40. Yeah.
All right.
You're going to have to forgive us, Daquan.
Yeah, sorry, Daquan. I know you're listening. But that's all we have for you guys this week. Thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 FM and the Full Court Press Podcast. To stay up to date, follow us on Instagram at FCPPodcast_UA. See y'all next week.
Peace.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.